second, we will be doing a work session on Senate Bill 550-5, the State Commission on Children and Families.
504.
I'm looking at 405. Senate Bill 5504, the budget bill for the State Commission on Children and Families. And before I turn it over to Ms. Baker, I'd like to ask the department to come forward in the event there are questions that needs to be answered, the two of you. And then Ms. Baker will bring you up to date in terms of what we've reviewed already and take you to where the budget is today and entertain any questions that you as a committee might have. Thank you very, very much. Mr. Foster, it's good to see you. My boss at the Scanner newspaper is visiting the legislature today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Members of the subcommittee, you received a memo last Thursday, I believe, from our office with the recommendations on this budget. Since that time, there's been some revisions, and so you have in front of you a revised memo, and that's the document that I will be working from. We'll cover today the budget recommendations, also the recommendations for performance measures for the agency. So I'll start on page one of the memo there. The shaded areas are an attempt to make it easier for you to see the changes from the initial memo that you received last week. So it's highlighting the changed areas. So you can see the recommended budget at this point is $59,939,018 general fund, $87,893,213 total funds, 34 positions, and 30.92 FTE. That budget is 29.9% general fund more and 20.4% total funds more than the Commission's 2005-07 legislatively approved budget. In the next section, we talk about...
Excuse me. Members, please feel free, as Ms. Baker go along, to ask questions as she goes on. Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Gordley,
I think I'll start by asking Ms. Baker to put the word more in context.
Okay.
Compared to the last budget, but then when you look at the last, there's several bienniums. When we had the budget crisis, we were forced to make some changes in this budget and in many of the budgets that took the department put the department far below an essential budget level. Can you help us understand where this budget truly is?
Yes.
You follow what I'm asking?
Yes. Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, this budget, as I noted, is significantly more than in 2005-2007. The high watermark, if you will, of the budgets that the agency has had over the past several biennia was at the start of the 2001-03 biennium. That legislatively adopted budget, which was later reduced, was a little over $80 million total general funds. And over $80 million total funds, the general fund was slightly over $60 million. So actually, where this budget is about where it was at the start of the 2001-03 biennium. Some of the funding has shifted between program areas, but in terms of the overall funding levels, we're about back to where we were at the start of that biennium.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
The next section describes the adjustments that are recommended to the Commission's essential budget level budget. And just as a reminder, the essential budget level is the 2005-07 budget with some inflationary adjustments added to it. There were no extraordinary caseload adjustments or that kind of thing for this particular agency. So we've identified in the various policy packages what this recommendation includes. and there is also an attached spreadsheet that shows the line item detail under the LFO recommended adjustment section. So if you're a verbal person, the memo will probably be more useful. If you're a numbers person, perhaps the spreadsheet will be more useful, but they should add up to the same thing. So I'll work through the memo. On the first page, package 401, this package in the recommended budget adds $3 million in the local basic capacity grants. That was the governor's budget recommendation. It was out of the co-chair's budget. It was out of our initial recommendation you got last week. At this point, it is back in to be funded. There's $2 million more for county juvenile crime prevention grants. There's federal funds in a position related to the juvenile accountability block grant, and $300,000 general fund for data system improvements. And then there's a funding shift for the existing resource developer position. This is the one that leverages other and federal funds primarily for the local activities. That's being shifted from other funds to general fund. So that's the recommended package. It does not include the governor's proposal for $180,000 general fund to add a state technical assistance position or some services and supplies that are position related. So the total package there is $5,481,254 general fund. There is a reduction in other funds because of the position fund shift. There's additional federal funds and then one position at a half FTE.
Mr. Chairman? The impact, Ms. Lansing, of not funding the $180,000 for the new technical assistance position, not having that position, means what?
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, the impact of that is that we have less ability to help local commissions in providing technical assistance and training to them. Remember, as we said in 1994 when we first started, we had 10 positions that were solely for local commission support. We now have 1.5, so that extra position was to shore up that kind of direct support to local commissions.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, can you equate that to the success or failure of the startups then? I mean, what does that translate into? What would happen if you had more, and what happens because of less? I mean, put some flesh on it.
Chair Carter and Senator Morissette, is I think the biggest thing, as over the years as we have evolved as a system and we have had more responsibilities, especially since 1999 when we took on doing local community comprehensive planning, that is very data and analysis driven in terms of doing that. You have put some money in for us to further refine our database where we can collect good data, but the training that needs to occur in local commissions around helping them in terms of their data collection, how they do certain things, working with other partners, how they really bring all the pieces together is, and then holding them accountable for that, that's a huge responsibility.
Ms. Baker?
Okay.
On the top of page 2 of the memo, then, is package 402. These are investments that are proposed in current programs. There is an additional $3 million general fund for the Healthy Start program. This is half of what the governor had originally recommended. There is now $1.04 million general fund for relief nurseries. So in addition to the co-chair's recommendation, this adds another $590,000 for two new relief nurseries. And this is based on some work that the Public Safety Subcommittee did in terms of funding for these nurseries.
And Ms. Baker, I want the commission to realize that this came from the goodness of the heart of one Senator Jackie Winters, who very much support relief nurseries and is a continual advocate as such.
Madam Chair.
Representative Compton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. While we're on the topic of relief nurseries, I'd like to explore just briefly the next item that maybe
Ms. Baker was going to mention the $100,000 in one time for evaluation. My understanding, there's been a certain degree of evaluation done in relief nurseries, and one question I might pose is, if you had your choice, is it $100,000 for the evaluation or $180,000 or $100,000 towards its technical assistance position? I'm just going to throw that out there. In terms of evaluation, I think we always should be evaluating our programs. This is, given the size of the state investment in relief nurseries, $100,000 is a fairly large percentage of what we're currently providing in public funds. The Association of Relief Nurseries should be seeking to derive some of this themselves, I would assume. We also have an issue around the relief nurseries that there's not a statewide funding formula, which has been an issue for me. I mean, there are a lot of things as a system that we need to evaluation. It seems like maybe we have to do a couple of things first. So I'm not going to oppose $100,000. I just think I want to make sure that it actually moves us forward instead of evaluating what is. It should be evaluating us and moving us forward as a system statewide for the relief nurseries. So thank you. I just wanted to make some comments.
Can I make a comment? One of the things that the relief nurseries have evolved, I think, a lot faster and have done a tremendous job over the years. And and in that process, the evaluation piece, I think, becomes very important, because as we look at the development, part of what we want to make certain is that we have some uniformity and standards. And this is to take nothing away from relief nurseries. They're my passion, as most people know, in this building, and I'll support them. But I also know that we have to be able to have the information of their outcomes, and we have to be able to have a system in place that does do a good job of evaluating what they're doing. And so I'm not going to speak for the director, but I know as one of the policymakers who have pushed to support the relief nurseries, that this is a tool that I think is a value that we need to have. I'm not going to discount the technical assistance, because I think we also need the technical assistance, but I suspect that when we get into the either-or situation, one of the difficulties in this building, representative, is the ability for local programs to provide the information to us, to where we're able to make the decisions, because we always come back with another question of why didn't you. And so I see the evaluation piece as another tool in their arsenal, quite frankly, to come back to us in our mind to tell us exactly what has been going on in the field. So I'm going to put that out.
Madam Chairman, Representative Kotep. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I couldn't agree more with Sarah Winters. I have a relief nursery in my district. I'm very proud of them. And I think it's that drive to evaluate, to move us towards some uniformity, I think is what I was getting at. And I don't think I was totally clear. Because as we move to adding new nurseries, what system are we starting to expand? The funding formula should follow that. I think it's more than just looking at, are we doing a good job right now? I think there has to be some uniformity. I think the association's been striving for that. I think we could be doing more. And I just, I think to some degree we all agree they do good work. So I wouldn't want to just see an evaluation comes back and says they do a great job. It's $100,000 to say that. So
and all this good stuff.
So I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You bet. Ms. McHugh,
Chair Carter, Representative Kotek, just to your issue, is that we believe this $100,000 can really get us to a place where we have a common data set, a baseline for where we can be, that takes us into the future, so that we really know what we have. It also is going to help us in terms of criteria as we start to bring up new nurseries. That is very important. So I think that it's a good investment.
Any further comments? Ms. Baker.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. The next part of the package that I would point out is the $1 million general fund to expand the court-appointed special advocate program. So the total for that package that is in the recommended budget is $5,140,000 general fund. Package 403, investments in new initiatives. These were homeless and runaway youth initiative and the community schools initiative, things that the legislature had directed the agency to do in prior sessions. The governor's budget included funding for that. The co-chairs initially did not. At this point, the funding is back in there. The general fund piece is back in there. The $1,641,571 to support both homeless and runaway youth initiative and the community schools initiative. The governor's budget included $500,000 other funds in this budget, which was general fund from Department of Education. That transfer is not included in this budget because it wasn't funded in Department of Education's budget. And so you have the general fund component and then the one position and the half FTE related to the homeless and runaway youth initiative.
Comments? Ms. Scott?
Oh, just want to say thank you. I think it was a very important add back. And very, I hope that this committee agrees with me. This is a very small price to pay for a huge payoff in the end, at the other end for a population that's often ignored.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Thank you. Ladies from North Portland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am also happy this is back in here with reservations. I've been struggling with this all session, talking to folks about the Homeless and Runaway Youth Initiative. We definitely have a population that's in need. No one's going to dispute that. I think what concerns me most about this is what I'd like to see with some of this these dollars, especially the staff position, because I know we have not had a staff position necessarily funded. Is to look at the prevention side, because the way I read a lot of this is these dollars are going to go to local communities to do some planning, primarily look at the delivery system for the existing homeless and runaway youth, which is absolutely essential. But there are state systems that could be preventing some of that we need to really look at. What's our foster care system doing? What are our schools doing? And what I miss in all of this is it's the back end that we're focusing on, not the front end. And I'm hoping with the staff position, I would encourage the State Commission to work with the Oregon Research Institute, who has this new grant to look at what's happening around early adolescence and say, what could we be doing to our systems that we also help fund to come back and say, we shouldn't have any child leaving the foster care system and hitting the streets. We're trying to address some of that, but we could be doing more. We could be looking at transitional health plan assistance when someone ages out of foster care. That becomes a large issue. So I think, I feel there's a bit lacking here in the initiative. I'm not going to say no to the money, but I think I'd like to have you come back and say, how are these grants getting given up? What are they going to be used for? What's the next step? Because there's a lot of detail that I haven't seen. So,
further comments?
I do want to ask a question on that one, please, Mickey. And that is, will we be gathering data on this? I'd like to have us have an update at least by next February in terms of where people are, in terms of what strategies that they have put in place and how they using the money. Because I think it would be hard to measure total effectiveness at that particular point, but at least you could give us a general idea and report, and maybe you would note that in the budget. Because I know sometimes when you have so many things on your agenda, you tend to forget, but I will just put it in budget notes as a reminder to you. But I think it helps you to leverage those persons who are coming in for the dollars to keep the kind of data that would allow us to want to, you know, if we can continue to fund this. But we don't want to just hand out money without any kind of accountabilities in place. So,
Chair Carter, we would be most happy to do that.
Thank you.
The next package 404, is an operational piece. What it does for the most part is to fund shift the court-appointed special advocate program coordinator position, which previously was supported in part with other funds. Now those other funds have gone away. It was a time-limited grant, and this uses general fund to continue that piece of the position. The change that we're recommending from the governor's budget is that the governor's budget added $21,239 general fund and related federal funds for two administrative position reclassifications, and our recommendation is to have the agency reduce their services and supplies budget in effect to pay for those position reclassifications internally. within package 801 is an additional recommendation based on information the agency provided.
Pretty good.
For grants that they would be getting from the Oregon Community Foundation and Meyer Memorial Trust to help build capacity in local CASA programs. There are two positions associated with this, part-time limited duration positions, and the funding for those positions and the related services and supplies would be in the commission's budget. It's my understanding that the trust will give an additional $1.9 million directly to the local CASA programs. It won't flow through the commission's budget. But that's a part of this as well. So our recommended package totals $371,470 other funds in two positions, 1.25 FTE. So with those adjustments, then, we've noted the recommended changes, the amendments to Senate Bill 5504, replacing what's in the existing bill, the general fund appropriation would be $59,939,018. The other funds appropriation would be $23,453,141. The federal funds number in the bill currently would not change.
Questions?
Moving on then to the performance measures review. In your packet, there is a legislatively adopted 2007-09 key performance measures summary, and I do want to take some time to walk through that because there are some changes proposed. The first measure, and we are recommending a new measure. This would replace the measure that was discussed with the subcommittee in the agency's presentation that measured the number or percentage of counties meeting their target outcomes in their program activities. What this would do would look statewide at the percentage of counties that are making progress in their identified focus areas with their locally invested funds. And what this long sheet that I've handed out is a mock-up, if you will, an example of how that detail might look. But the goal of this is, let me go back a little bit. The idea is that in their local plans, each county identifies particular focus areas where they're going to invest their locally invested funds. Previously, the previous measure measured are people making their targets, but there wasn't really any identification of what those targets were, if those targets were good, bad, whatever. The information that the commission has been able to pull together would reflect on a county-by-county basis where the local commissions are investing their funds and if they are making progress towards the Oregon benchmarks or other measures if there's not a benchmark related to that focus area. Are they making progress towards those? Not necessarily are they meeting the benchmark or not, but are they making progress towards those benchmarks? And then at the state level, what they would report as part of this measure is of that universe of counties and their target focus areas, of the universe of counties and their focus areas, a certain percentage of those are meeting are making progress. So if you look at this example, you can see on the left-hand side there's the number of counties. At the top are examples of focus areas that counties reported for 0507. Now, again, none of this is real data. This is my depiction of how this might look. But, for example, I don't know that Baker County selected those three areas, and I don't know if they're making progress or not. But the idea is that the commission would look at all the information that is reported at each county, identify who is making progress, who is not, and then the percentage of those making progress is what would be reported on the statewide measure. So we would have a statewide look at are we making progress in these focus areas? The commission has the information, the state commission has the information to be able to identify at the local level who's making progress, where they might need help, what the other factors might be as to why they are or are not making progress. So that's the recommendation for performance measure number one. And again, that's a new one. The commission has identified preliminarily as targets for 2008 that they would target 85% making progress, and then in 2009, 87%. Again, given that this is a new measure and they haven't actually looked at, you know, what those percentages might be, I think that's a reasonable starting point for them.
And members, I think it's important to note that different counties have different priorities, and as they do, there will not necessarily be comparators here, depending on what project out of this whole range or array of programmatic, deals up at the top. And so that is going to be very, very important for us to know there will not necessarily be comparators because they will take different program focuses. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that's an excellent point. And this, I want to go back to a comment I made during the public hearings about while each county chooses their own priorities, which I think is one of the selling points of the local commission system, and I want to thank everyone involved for producing this new performance measure. It does present challenges when there's not some uniformity of what making progress means. There are a lot of resources out there. The Oregon Progress Board, Children First for Oregon, we work on benchmarks and, trying to measure progress. And while each county could choose what they want to do along the top line, I think that if whatever counties chose, for example, the first one reduced alcohol and drug use during pregnancy, they should have similar targets that help them measure progress. So I wouldn't expect counties to do everything the same way, but there are only so many ways to get to reducing things. And I think there should be some ways to standardize how we actually understand progress at the county level. So I really think that's important if this measure is going to work, because otherwise it's apples and oranges within these different categories.
Well, one suggestion, Nikki, had been that the department could work with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee and maybe you could seek some advice. I'm not requesting that you do this, but it's just a suggestion that you might want to work with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to see if there could be some kind of range where you could determine whether a person is making progress, because progress in one area could be different kind of progress in another area. So how you measure that is going to obviously be a challenge for you. So there are resources that obviously you could draw from in making those kind of decisions. Because I think you're right when you start talking about the Oregon Progress Board, you talk about Children First and whatever other agencies out there are doing report cards or whatever to determine the success of the legislature, I think those are resources that you obviously could probably draw from.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morrison.
In line with the suggestion, I think it might be a good idea to have a performance measure that measures the performance measures of counties. In other words, you should ask counties to come up with a way of validating what they're saying they're doing, and use that as your performance measure. How many counties are we going to persuade to do this? Because I agree, this doesn't really mean anything if they say they're doing something. And I'm particularly interested in Lane County and the immunization, which is something that I'm interested in anyway. But I'd like to know what their measurement is. And I think it would be valid for you to say we want you to report, and then you can use that as your performance measure in terms of how many people to actually do it over time.
Chair Carter, Senator Morissette, members of the committee, this is something that we have dealt with for the last several sessions. We want to get it right. We were very pleased when Sheila Baker sent this information to us. We immediately called the Oregon Progress Board, Rita Conrad, said, "What do you think about this?" Her response was, "I think it's brilliant." Rita is very familiar with the counties and the way they do their work and the expectations of
at them. And so she understands how difficult this performance measure has been. But we want it right. And we are willing to do whatever it takes to involve whomever we need to involve. And that includes any of you that sit on this committee if you'd like to be part of that process. Because we want it to be relevant and we want it to be understandable.
I would volunteer to do that.
Oh, good.
Because I think it is important.
Chair Carter and Senator Morris said, I'll remind you that it's now the second.
And she will.
So we are more than happy to have you.
That's great. Senator Morris. Along that line, it's kind of interesting because we have, on the one hand, an agency, an organization that's actually responsible for looking at planning and developing data so that its local communities can come up with their prioritized needs. And then on the other hand, we have agencies that are actually more involved in the service delivery. I'm thinking of public health and some of those. And that's where we kind of get fuzzy in performance outputs because, you could have something going on that really is not within your purview. So I think having others at the table and your suggestion, Madam Chair, that looking forward and working with other groups later is a good one because there is no clear path when you look at the Commission on Children and Families.
Ms. Baker?
The other note I would make on this is that if you look at your spreadsheet, it says key performance measure 2, locally invested funds. We would also propose that that be renumbered so that it be key performance measure 1.
Okay. Madam Chair, can I make a suggestion on that, on the leverage fund? Because it talks about the target is $42 million. Is there a way of including not just the actual dollars, but I'm very mindful that so much of what our local communities do and the involvement, and if I look at relief groceries and others, there's a huge volunteer component that or in-kind component that never really gets captured in the data that we see here. And there was one time I can recall when I was in the governor's office and in the agency where volunteers actually were rewarded and we had them at a high level of respect and honor. And I see very little attention that's being paid to this cadre of individuals in our various community who, if they weren't volunteering and providing some of these services, we could not carry forth some of these programs that we're involved in. So I just wondered if that might not be one to add. I hope it's not too much work for the...
Well, Senator, there's a recommendation that Ms. Baker has. Can you read that to her now, Ms. Baker?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Winters, on key performance measure 2, leverage funds, we did show the target at $42 million up from where it was, but our recommendation also notes that the agency has said that they're working on changes to their database that would allow it to collect that broader information, and that once that's done, they should propose revisions for the next biennium and bring that forward. Because, yes, this is a dollar leveraging and doesn't encapsulate a lot of what is going on.
Fine minds working tandem with the other many times.
Thank you.
Ms. Baker.
Okay, the next performance measure 3, Healthy Start Participants. This would be renumbered and the wording would be changed so that it reflects just the child maltreatment rates for children age 0 to 2 that are participating in Healthy Start. Before, the wording and the measurements were a little out of sync because it was trying to compare it to non-participant maltreatment rates, but this would just show the one number with the understanding that the targets that they set would be lower than the incident rates of maltreatment for those that aren't participating.
Questions,
please? Yeah, sure. This is really a question for the interim, and Mickey and I have had a discussion through the mail on this already. You're trying to measure things throughout your commission that are difficult to measure, things you're not completely responsible for, or there are many other factors you have no control over. We'll cut your budget in the last few years, and we don't want to start moving performance measures around because you have no continuity. You don't know what you're comparing from year to year anymore. So I've almost in the back of my mind that sometimes you must think in the dark of the night, how do we measure what we're doing, and are we really getting anywhere? And when I look at this performance measure number 3, I kind of looked at it very carefully. And, you know, looking through the last couple of years on it, there's times when the non-served population actually apparently got better and suddenly got worse. There's times where those who were being served were stayed flat for 3 or 4 years and got a little worse. You know, it's hard to look at these numbers and make any much sense out of them. And then when you start looking at the kind of groups you're talking about, because it's a voluntary group, it's a self-selected group, there's no science to it at all. You're just trying to put something together that makes some sense to find out if your program's working, if you're getting anywhere. I can't tell from this that you are or you're not. You may be doing a great job. I mean, these numbers might look terrible if Healthy Start wasn't there. I just don't know what's going on with this program. It's one of the bigger programs in your budget. And I can look at all these performance measures we've talked about today and make the same comments. This is a very hard thing to measure, very difficult to measure. And I'm not sure how you go about doing that. You guys are the experts. I'm just sitting here looking at this thing. What I ask myself is, in my community, in my county, do I see families who are at risk struggling more or struggling less? Do I see more kids dropping out of school or less kids dropping out of school? Do I see more drug abuse or less drug abuse? And the answers to those questions aren't very good. There's lots of reasons for them, not necessarily anything to resolve around you. What I'd ask you to do here is, you wrote me a letter back, and I appreciate it. I think a basic letter agreed with what I said. We do the best we can to get something out of this. I ask you to be thoughtful when we're gone for the next 7 or 8 months and into the next true biennium in 2009. Think about these performance measures. Think of it some way of giving us data that really, truly measures what you're doing. Because if you're not measuring what you're doing, there's no way you can prove what you're doing. There's no way you can improve what you're doing, because you don't know. Just like we don't know. Madam Chair, these performance measures for me are interesting, but not factual, and I can't take anything away from them one way or the other. I think you need performance measures, but I'm unconvinced that any of these have any value to them one way or the other. I just can't tell. You guys may be doing great work. Probably are. I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, thank you very much. I visited the birthing center at Sacred Heart Hospital about 3 years ago and saw a little preemie. And I asked about it, and they said, oh, well, this is a Healthy Start issue because the mother is homeless and the grandparents are homeless and there's a Healthy Start person working with the parents. That's wonderful. And I think that's part of the tracking. That's what you're all about here, right? Yeah. So I think that's the essence of Healthy Start. If you can track that you are dealing with a family that is incapable of making the right decisions and can show that. Now, that was a no-brainer. I don't know, they're not that easy to identify, but certainly that one was, and I think you need that kind of data. And it appears that that's what you're getting, I hope.
Just a comment too, and this brings me back to back in the 70s when I was working in child abuse prevention, and we used to just beat our heads against the wall trying to, how do you sell the idea of primary prevention of child abuse? Because if you do something on this end and nothing happens over here, you've actually, you know, been a success in that sense. But it was hard to sell to people because they said, well, what if you, how do you know that was going to be a bad outcome anyway? So anyway, long story, but short, I remember Governor Kitzhaber had proposed a program of healthy kids and funded it, tried to fund it at $60 million, and everybody just went, oh my God, this is so much money. You know? I just wonder if we had put that $60 million into, which was very similar to Healthy Start, which is today, and what you guys are doing, I just wonder what the other end of it, the expenditures would have been, you know, less, more, whatever. And it's always curious to me to wonder. But I think that what you guys are doing is that program, in essence. And it's hard to prove. I, with all due respect to Dr. Bates, and I know it, I hear what you're saying, it's just hard to put it, you know, if you're having a good outcome and making a success, that you can key it back to a specific action that you did on the front end and know exactly which one it is.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rennie.
This has been the debate and the discussion of programs in human services since day one. And when you're dealing with human behavior, and you're dealing with so many variables, and you're dealing with so many impacts or situations that are uncontrollable, it is very hard to have quantified outcomes or performance measures. We grappled with this, like Debbie, when I was in human services in 1969, 71, and through that whole period of time. It was whenever we talked prevention, it was like that was the dirty word when you came over to this building because you could not give absolute numbers. And so because of that, and with all due respect, Senator, it's not like giving a pill. It's like it's very hard to measure, and you know, we also, what's difficult in the measurements is whether or not what you're doing in your program and whether or not somebody else is doing over here in your educational systems and other systems, because it all has an impact and implication. But yet at the same time, I know that this building would like to have to be able to say definitively what you're doing with whether it's Healthy Start and some outcomes of how many kids have you seen, what's happening with the families. So those things can be followed. And I know that inside of relief nurseries, I know that there are some instruments that are being developed that will allow us now to look at keeping families together or whether or not they're not together and whether kids are thriving and growing. So there are some things that I think that we can do a better job of that we couldn't do in 71 and in the 80s and in the 90s that we have learned. So I'm siding with you also.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm enjoying this discussion. I think it's a difficult thing to scale. I mean, child maltreatment is a complex set of issues, and I would actually encourage us to think a little more outside the box and maybe come up with our own unique composite value of, because what we're really trying to do is reduce the risks that could lead to child maltreatment. Trying to help people get employed. We're trying to help them get back to school, their young mother. We're helping them become more stable. Whatever it is, those are the things that, you know, access to A&D treatment or whatever. Because those are the risks that are bringing to this child maltreatment. It's very difficult to say one little program for an entire population is reducing child maltreatment. But I think you can say on an individual basis that you're helping reduce the risks for those families. So I'm wondering if that's a better way to go than looking at what this is essentially looking at when things don't go right. They go wrong, you have child maltreatment. That's not what you want to measure. You want to measure how well you're doing keeping things going in the right direction. So something to think about.
Chair Carter and members of the committee, I think this is really a helpful discussion. I cannot tell you how many times we go over and over. How do we take the data? How do we make it relevant? With the lack of a longitudinal study and control groups, which, of course, we all know how much that costs, how do we know this is really working? And so, but this is an issue I think that the State Commission can take up. And the State Commission can look at this overall and see how do we find help from the university communities, other researchers, what across the nation. We have gone across the nation and looked with Healthy Families America. That model is in 17 states. And we're the third largest Healthy Families America program in the nation. We compare our data with them, et cetera. But obviously, we're not where we could be with that. So we need to essentially leave no stone unturned to try to see if we can't get data that is relevant to you. And we will do that.
Longitudinal
study. Yes, exactly.
When I was on the board in the mid-90s of Head Start, we were looking for longitudinal studies. We didn't find a whole lot. Even for Head Start, we didn't find a lot of anecdotal. The DARE programs have been dropped in a lot of schools now. In Springfield, they dropped the DARE program, which kind of blew my mind, because they realized that when these kids are in fifth grade, third grade, or fifth, sixth, you know, they respond, but when the same kids are in high school, there is no relationship. So some of these programs are really sound good. There's no evidence, but longitudinal studies. But I think these we have to work hard to preserve the right programs. And I think that, so I'm with you on that.
Just a different kind of comment, I guess. We have 36 wonderful counties in Oregon, and so there's evidence in each of those 36 counties, evidence of what's working and of where the real needs are. And I guess I just want to remind us that we live in a culture that values what can be measured, and when we get too focused on that, we forget about the voices and faces of people who are right in front of us, and the voices and of people that we've heard in our committee hearings here in the Capitol, certainly in our hearings around the state. And so, you know, as much as I appreciate and also value the place of the discussion that we're having, which is about performance measures, et cetera, ad nauseum, and that's just wordly speaking, let's remember those real stories and those real lives and those real situations in 36 counties that give us good information every day about what's working in our communities. It doesn't always have to be complicated. We make it complicated. Thank you.
Ms. Baker?
Okay, continuing through the performance measures here, there's no change in the measure number 4, juvenile crime prevention, other than to say that the commission has been working since the transfer of that program from the Criminal Justice Commission. They've been working to get the data in place, and they're almost to the point where they can now put the historical data in that measure. And so our note says that once they have that they should look again at those targets and come back to the joint legislative audit committee in the interim to report on the data and the targets, because the targets might change depending on how the data comes in.
Member, I should feel I should be balanced here. I love KPM4. I think that's a great measure. I think that's where you want to go. Okay. Looking forward to the data.
Thank you. Okay, performance measures 5 and 6 are new this biennium. One is the court-appointed special advocates measure, and one is the relief nurseries measure. The court-appointed special advocates measure, those targets are higher, more ambitious, if you will, because of the additional funding that's being provided this time. And on relief nurseries, there is a note that the budget does fund that expanded evaluation effort, which you've talked about. And so we expect that you might, in the next go-around, see proposed modifications for that measure. Measure 7 is the standard customer satisfaction measure. There's no change in that. And Measure 8 is a new one for this commission. This is based on work during the interim regarding best practices measures for commissions and boards. And this commission is one of the agencies that needs to adopt that measure. There's 15 assessment criteria for best practices for a commission. And so the target as established for 2008 would allow the commission to have one. No, we haven't done that, and still meet 94%. But then in 2009, their target is 100% compliance with those best practices.
Madam Chair, can I ask Ms. Baker? She doesn't have to do it now, but some definition of what the best practice is. This is one that I'm assuming is getting added to everyone's budget.
Madam Chair,
Senator Winters, yes, that it's added to the boards and commissions, not, for example, to Department of Human Services. But the idea is so that operative commissions or boards that are governing agencies or setting policy for agencies has a set of 15 best practices that they can say, are we doing this? Are we doing that? And I'm sorry I didn't bring it today, but it's a standardized measure.
Would you like me to...
If you would want, just go ahead and read, I think, some of the examples of the 15.
The executive director's performance expectations are current. The exec director receives annual performance feedback. The agency's mission and high-level goals are current and applicable. The board is appropriately involved in policy-making activities, so those kinds of things.
Thank you for reading that. I was suspicious that what might be. Sorry to hear that list, and I don't want to hear the rest of the list. I was hoping it was best practices for on-the-ground programs that we were talking about, not best practices for the commission or the boards sitting over those programs. It sounds to me like more busy work, more paperwork. Most of these boards in my area are volunteers doing the best they can. I don't want to lay more paperwork on them. I'm interested in seeing the actual on-the-ground programs having best practices applied.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, this is a measure of the state commission. It's not an evaluation of the local commissions. It's best practices for the state-level commission.
Madam Chair, just to follow up, I understand that very clearly, and I don't see any value to it. What I want is best practices for the actual on-the-ground programs where that might have a real impact on what you're trying to do. That's different than putting more paperwork on the commission. I just don't see the purpose of it.
Senator,
I would have to echo my good senator, but also you don't want to start putting barriers to where even the state commission, I probably have some individuals who are not state employees who serve on the state commission. I don't want to put us in a place where we're saying to individuals who volunteer on our commissions we're going to put unnecessary paperwork and obstacles in the way. Volunteers make us what we are today in this building, and I would have to just decide to say the basics. If it's not necessary, why are we doing it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to change the topic, if that's all right, to a different measure. Thank you. I'd like to ask for just a bit more detail on KPM number 5, court-appointed special advocates. Because this is measuring the percentage of children with a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate, when the case is closed, will this number then also be available to be compared to the outcome for children without a CASA? Tell us how they work, Ms. Hanson.
Chair Carter, members of the committee, I'm going to let Marcia Clark, Data Ticker Rule, take a stab at that.
I think, Chair Carter and Representative Nathanson, I think the answer to your question is that may be possible. We haven't investigated this measure at that level, being able to have like a control group or a comparison group. But since we're not serving all of the CASA kids, I would say that we should be able to capture that data somewhere. So I think we should be able to do that.
Brief follow-up?
Yeah.
I think that would be very useful because then it would either prove or cast doubt on the value. Of course, we're showing how much we believe in this program by investing money in it, but I think that would only help to bolster the case of its value to compare it to the other group.
Thank
you, Madam Chair. I couldn't agree more. In fact, you know, every year we get from DHS one of those pie charts that says this is where kids go out of foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an other category. Many people don't realize there's an other, which is an unknown category. We don't know where some kids go, interestingly enough. So you might strive to have compared to that. And I would guess the department could tell you which ones have CASAs.
Oh, yeah.
So they can run that number. So, yeah. That'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Madam Chair, that is the performance measure recommendations that we have included for your consideration, and that summarizes in both our budget and performance measure recommendations.
Are there questions on the overall budget? Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the performance measures for Senate Bill 5504 as prescribed or proposed.
Representative Williams moves that we would adopt the performance measure, key performance measures for the Commission on Children and Families as prescribed in the day before you. Are there any objections? Representative Boone?
Madam Chair, I would move the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 5504.
Representative Boone moves the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 5504. Are there any objections?
And, Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 5504 be amended as approved and reported out to the full committee on Ways and Means of the DPAS recommendation.
Representative Boone moves that Senate Bill 5504, the Commission on Children and Families Budget, be reported to the full committee as proposed with the DPAS recommendation. Comments, questions, objections?
Madam Chair,
Senator Gordon.
I would just like to acknowledge the leadership of Ms. Lansing and her entire team. Do a wonderful job and always accessible information, always transparent. And again, just want to honor and acknowledge the quality of leadership that you all bring forward. Thank you.
Before I take the final gavel to extend this budget out, I'd like to give kudos to all of our counties, but especially to Dr. Carlson and Senator Winters, who have worked so hard to present what I call a national model here in Marion County. Many times we believe the big counties are the ones that can get things done, but we look at Marion County, who's come up with a national, I believe, a national focus on something that many communities across the state can replicate. So kudos to you and to other program people that are here. Are there objections?
No objections, Madam Chair, but I would like to thank you for your leadership and for Mrs. Lansing and staff, and I really appreciate the add-backs that are in this budget today, and I too would echo that I have an outstanding county, Marion County, and our relief nursery director, Sheila Sue Miller, today as well. But I think it sends a message to, and I said that early on to some of the members of this panel, that you too need to get involved in your counties and to work with your counties. And I think you'll find that they welcome your involvement and will welcome your input. And when we come back to this building, we will appreciate how hard our counties are working on our behalf. So,
absolutely. Representative Gerard?
Madam Chair, I just want to echo Senator Winters' words about the chair's add-backs. We thank you and we appreciate it.
Thank you. I just wanted you guys to know that we listen and we listen well. Without objection, Senate Bill 5504 is adopted and will be going to the full committee on Ways and Means. Senator Gordley, Representative Nathanson, prepared to the full committee. Senator Winters for the floor. Representative Kotex for the House floor.
Madam Chair, I'm not on the floor. Is that all right?
But that's a two-floor carriage. We just need one carrier. Oh, okay. Senator Gordley to the full committee. And Senator Rose to the floor. And Representative Kotex to the floor.
Nathanson.
They can fight over it.
Yeah.
They can fight over it. We're not open one close.
We sit next to each other.
Let's do it. Do it. Open one close. Yeah. Go for it. That's great. Committee, you've been wonderful. I appreciate your hard work and your cooperation. And with that in mind, the committee is dismissed. Oh.
dismiss.
Vacation the next 2 days. No committee.
I thought you said dismiss, like we're not going to meet again.
That's not for the next 2 days anyway. Thank you, everybody, for good work.